RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Gavin Benny is a Whangarei District Councillor, and he has a strong interest in community safety, and he will be proposing that the Whangarei District Council reject the Director General of Health's directive to fluoridate the water supply. That's Dr. Diana Safati, of course. And obviously, that piques our interest, so we thought we'd get Gavin on RCR this morning to talk more about what he plans to do. Gavin, welcome. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks. Nice to be here.
Okay, so my sense is that this whole fluoride debate is really heating up. Am I right? Is there something happening?
Yeah, I agree. So I've been really disappointed with previous with the media exposure to the fluoride situation. But I agree with you. It is really heating up now. And I think it should be. I think this is a really important topic that has been buried for a long time, and it's time to bring it out in the open and do something about it.
What do you make of the attitude of, well, the establishment, but more specifically, let's call out the Director General of Health again, Dr. Diana Safati, for being so authoritarian, let's say, about this and not giving any credibility to some of the very thorough and reliable factual information that's come to light from other countries that fluoride is in fact a neurotoxin and damages people. They seem to, her specifically, but the establishment, let's say, seem to just brush that off as if it's nothing.
It really is unbelievable. The biggest belief how especially the latest research and the latest decision from the US federal court, how they can ignore that what's happening there. And I'm one of those who is happy to go along with sensible decisions, but this to me is a matter of common sense. And you might hear this a few times in this interview, the word common sense. And I believe this defies common sense and decision by the Director General of Health to carry on with this, regardless of the evidence, is unbelievable, to be honest.
Well, we had the Minister for the Environment, Penny Simmons, on just a few days ago, talking about the whole thing around, safety of water and what the previous government were trying to do with that and how that is changing with RMA changes. I asked her about fluoride in the water, given that that's about water and we don't want anything poisonous in the water. She refused to comment. She didn't want to say anything about it.
It really is. So, for instance, in 2021, Dr. Shagretti, who is now the Minister of Health, we all know that, he opposed the Labor government's then bill to take the fluoride topic off local government and give it to central government. He opposed that, and he said the local government should have a bill. And now he is not following that up. He's in a position now to be really strong on this. And I've met with Dr. Reddy. I've got a lot of time for Dr. Reddy and what he does. However, on this topic, I think he's gone missing.
How do we explain that, though, do you think, Gavin? That's always a question I ask people when we're talking about this, because surely, when it's so clear that at least something's up, you say Shane Reddy, you've met him, he's a good bloke and he's a medical guy. What, has he got a blind spot to this?
Again, without casting aspersions on our politicians, I think this is lazy politics. So if there was no alternative to fluoridating our water, I would be fully in I may be fully in support of it. But there are a number of alternatives, and the alternatives are cheaper. But and as being in local council and watching central government, you know that sometimes they take the easy way out. This is an easy way out. This is lazy politics. This is not just fluoridating our drinking water. This is fluoridating our whole water supply. Only 1-3% of our water is drinking water, but we are going to fluoridate every 100% of our water. If somebody else threw a neurotoxin into our water, they would go to jail. Yet we're going to allow.
Well, lead is the example people use. It took a long time to get lead out of the petrol. And the toxicity of lead is well known. There seems to be an equivalence there, but hey, fluoride's okay. All right, it's hard to work out.
I just want to comment on that. I don't think anybody accepts that fluoride is okay. Even the ones who are pro fluoride, I think that it's the level of fluoride which is under debate at the moment. And until a few years ago, that level was deemed safe. And I think recent research, recent court decisions have said that that level now is not safe. And I think that's the fact that we're not focusing on. We need to focus on that. Everybody believes it is a neurotoxin. We know it's a neurotoxin. It is harmful to people's health. It's the level that goes into our water that is the issue.
Well, mass medication is another issue, isn't it? Because if you're paying rates, you expect to have, a water supply that won't lower your IQ, you know, just that little thing. But
exactly. So in 2008, the Supreme Court of New Zealand, and that's the Supreme Court of New Zealand, ruled that fluoridation of our water is compulsory mass medication. It's the biggest belief we haven't done something about this.
Okay, so how is this going to go down for you? And what response do you think the council, will they go along with the group think, or what is your sense?
So what I've done, to be fair to the Whangarei District Council, I've given them a pretty long run into this. They will go and get legal advice as of now. And I can guarantee you the legal advice will say that councils could be liable for fines, and they will say $200,000 and $10,000 a day, but the fines are up to $200,000 and $10,000 a day. And they will also similar, and I think this is similar advice to what the Tauranga Council has got, in that council laws could be personally liable for those fines. And this is that's the scary bit. That's the bit that scares the councillors off. To be honest, up here, I think we've got a group of councillors that believe that this is an issue that needs addressing, that the fluoridation of our water is not acceptable. And I think we'll get it across the line, regardless of that legal advice, because I think the legal advice is, quite frankly, wrong and not acceptable.
That is the lawfulness of the directive.
It's based on the lawfulness of the directive, the safety of fluoride, the effectiveness of it, and all those other issues that go with it.
Okay, so back to the fines, and we've spoken with Mahi Drysdale, and he talked about liability issues there. But, you know, in their wildest dreams, Gavin, they're not going to start fining councillors. The locals are going to go nuts. This could never fly. It's a bluff, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe strongly this. And I think the Director General has, and to be fair to her, she's been quoted a number of times saying they have no intention of fining councils. Their aim is to educate councils. And I believe it's the government that needs educating, not the councils. So I don't believe they will be fining councils. However, that threat is there in the background, and that threat is being used to sway councillors. In the last few days, I've had a number of phone calls from councillors around our country who have said that they have already been with the chief executive of the councils, has told them that they could be personally liable for these fines. And, I mean, that's enough to scare away most people, to be honest.
So the council officers are telling the councillors that. Did I get that right?
Well, that's the legal advice that councils, that's what I believe our legal advice will be in this case. We will get legal advice saying, and I think I understand that that's what the Tauranga councillors were told.
Okay, yeah. No, Mahi Drysdale told us that. So what do you do? What does the council do? It votes in a particular way. What can it seek to, well, at least create a pause anyway?
So I've kept this nice and simple. So, for instance, as the directive was deemed unlawful in 2022, and since then, the Director General of Health has been directed. She's been given a directive herself to come up with some sort of solution, which they haven't come up with anything at all. And it's going back to court in June of 2025. So, at least the process should be halted until then, until we see that. The biggest point here is personal responsibility. We should be responsible for what goes into our bodies. If we have compulsory medication, fluoridation put in our water, there is no restriction on what goes. We have no say on what goes into our bodies. I think that was something that came out of the whole COVID thing, and that we must have that responsibility to be responsible for what goes into our body. So I'm not sure what the future holds for this, whether the government will try and override this or whether they will listen. I do believe if we get some real a wave of publicity about this, which I think should happen, then I believe we can change the government's mind on this. And I think that that's what I am trying to achieve.
Okay, I'm just looking at the Health Act 1956 and one of the conditions. If any condition likely to be injurious to health or offensive exists in the district, to cause all proper steps to be taken to secure the abatement of the nuisance or the removal of the condition. I probably didn't read that like a lawyer, but that's pretty clear.
Section 23C of the Health Act and 23 of the Health Act, it does it clear. It clearly states that. And so one of the things I've said to my fellow councillors is we've got to take that into account in every decision we make. We also have a responsibility. We take an oath to serve the ratepayer. This is not serving the ratepayer of our district. This is really throwing them under the bus, I believe.
And the cost of it, Gavin, just looking at that, it's in the millions to go down this road, and that's ratepayers' money, right?
And those millions could have been spent so much more efficiently, and that is the whole purpose of the argument. As I said, this is not the only way here. There are several other alternatives, and they are cheaper and more cost-effective and way more effective for this tooth decay thing. So, for instance, up here, fluoridating our water will only reach 60% of the population. We'll have 40% of the population. Could be pretty reasonably argued that that is the at-risk population that we're trying to get to. But we're just going to throw it in and hopefully 60% of the population will get some results from that. That doesn't make sense. That all goes, the evidence is quite compelling, I think, especially recent evidence and the recent court decisions is really compelling, and the rest of the world has taken notice of this, and it's time we did.
What sort of support do you think can be expressed through the community to have their say? Have you got any ideas about that? Because a lot of people are more informed about this now.
A lot of people are, but most people aren't still. So the education, people think that fluoride is a natural thing that we've come out of the ground and it's put in our water, and it's a natural product, and it's not. It's the education of this is a really important part, and that's the bit that has been stymied, I believe. Until recently, the government was trumpeting, and anything under 0.7 milligrams per litre anything around 0.7 was safe. So now that has been dispelled, that myth. We need to educate people about that. For instance, Whangarei District Council did a survey. The question they asked 300 people was, do you think fluoride should be added to our water to improve our dental health? And that was it. There's no education about the product fluoride itself.
Well, that's actually a loaded question.
Of course it is.
That's a loaded question.
Absolutely. It was a disgraceful
question. How could that – that is so loaded.
Yes, it is.
Because if you say no to it, you're answering the question, you're saying no to good dental health because of the way the question's worded.
It was really poorly worded. And so in 2002, there was a reasonable education process around fluoridation then, and a survey in Whangarei at the time. 62% of people declined to put fluoride in the water, which was substantial.
And that's 20 or so years ago.
Yeah, 20 years ago, but that was the last major survey of the Whangarei district that was done.
Yeah. All right, so what happens now? I think this is coming up towards the end of November, isn't it? The
28th of November.
28th of November. What's your sense?
On the 28th of November, I believe that we will take this to the council meeting. I believe if the vote was tomorrow, I think we'd win it. The legal advice is going to be a real key to getting this across the line. But I think the council laws need to be strong enough to look at the whole process. We really want the government to come back to us and saying, we hear what you're saying, let's put it on hold, let's get the court process out of the way, let's look into this a little bit more and see whether there's a more effective way of doing it, and we can show them more effective ways of doing it. So that's the plan. Whether that plan comes to fruition depends on the publicity interviews like this get, depends on other councils taking this up and running. Well, I know other councils want to do it, but they are scared to do it because of those fines.
Yeah, this being scared, I understand it, but sometimes you've got to be a bit fearless about things, don't you? And we know that in numbers, there's safety in those numbers. and again calling the bluff would be an interesting thing to do because, well, from what I've seen and heard and the discussions we've had, is it's teetering now that probably they're toothless. There's nothing there.
And that's the hope for my what I believe. What's what I believe will happen. Whether that's the case or not remains to be seen. But I think so. As councillors, we put ourselves up to lead. And I'm telling my fellow councillors, now's the time to be leaders. You want to be leaders? Let's lead the country in this. You know, nobody has been prepared to do this. I'm not saying I'm fearless and I'm a warrior and all this sort of thing. What I am saying is I'm prepared to lead this one. And I believe we're on the right track. And I believe my fellow councillors at this point in time are right behind me. So I'm hopeful that we can get this across the line and we can start a ripple which becomes a wave.
Well, that sounds kind of fearless to me, Gavin. it's more than I've heard from a lot of people, believe me, on this issue, particularly the folks in authority and leadership. Like I mentioned, that example with the Minister for the Environment. She just didn't want to go there. Yet that is at the heart of the environment. So there you go.
Absolutely. And when you put yourself up for public office, you've got to take a stand. You've got to take a stance on this. You can't deny these things. You've got to front up. And I believe that. So you know, the fact that New Zealand First passed a remit to say that fluoridation of our waters should go back to local government was a really important step. They've stepped up. And they've spoken, which is really good. The other coalition partners have been really silent on that, and they shouldn't be silent because this is a major issue.
Well, once this is up and ready for people to listen to on our replays, may I suggest that you send Shane Retty, if you've got his personal contact, a link to it. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll do. I'll do exactly that, yes.
He might be listening. Gavin, it's been interesting to talk with you. We'll keep an eye on things and maybe get back to you. Maybe right at the end of November, early December, and find out how that went.
Yeah, anytime, Paul.
So Gavin Betty, who is a Whangarei District Councillor, and he joined us to talk about his proposal that the Whangarei District Council reject the Director General of Health's directive to fluoridate the water supply. Thanks for coming on, Gavin. We'll see what happens.
Cool. Appreciate what you're doing. Thank you very much.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.